Welcome from the deep. I am Mike the Finder.
And I'm just Book of Brett.
And today we're going to be talking about the 2023 film Godzilla Minus One.
Minus One.
This is a movie that I've had on my watch list for a really long time, and I was like really super excited to watch it.
Yeah.
I made reservations for this movie in the theater three times and had to bail on it three different times, including the super limited showing of the black and white version. I was really pissed.
Oh, there was a black and...
There's a black and white version.
Okay, it's we not need to available. Bring that up later.
It's not available on Netflix right now. It's only available to purchase and rent on Amazon right now, I think, as the recording of this.
So what you're saying is I need to do a video capture, put it in DaVinci Resolve, throw a black and white filter over it, and then watch it?
I mean, from what I understand, the colorist... that did the regular color grade also did the black and white version and took his sweet ass time with it and really went like all out making it black and white so it could be more of like a throwback to the old Godzilla movies, which in my opinion would definitely help this movie if it was in black and white.
And we're going to get into that a little bit because there's a lot in this movie that feels classic.
Yes. There's also a lot that could be complained about as far as the color goes. So yes, we're talking about Godzilla Minus One today. This is a movie that we've both been wanting to see for a long time. I don't know. Have you had this like... On your watch list or like on your radar at all? Because I don't remember hearing you talk about this. I don't think
I'm not like some crazy kaiju fan.
Me neither. To be fair,
I don't get up in arms about kaiju films. I've watched a few Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
I've watched a few King Kong movies, but I have not like I'm not some like crazy Godzilla fan, and so I went into this kind of like. For the review aspect,
right?
Not so much for the oh my god, it's a Godzilla movie. I didn't even really know about much of the hype behind it until you mentioned it.
Oh, really?
And no,
this was like being called one of the best movies of the last of 2023. Really, like everyone has been just up in arms about how great this movie is, which I have. A little bit of problem with because it sets unrealistic expectations maybe of what this movie actually is.
It totally does. And we're going to get into, I mean, like how I felt about it, but to be like, I don't think you get to say it's the best movie of 2023 when did this come out in 2023?
You mean like the actual release date?
At what point of the year? Like I feel like that's not a thing people should get to say until 2024.
It came out January 26th, 2024 is what this says. That can't be right.
So it was okay.
Wow. So I mean, that's what this says.
So it came out January 2024.
That doesn't feel right. Is that right?
So what I'm hearing is that the best movie of the year came out 26 fucking days into the year.
No, I don't think this is right. I am convinced that this is wrong.
Okay. Either way, it's one of those things you hear all the time where it's like, this is the best movie of 2023. It's like, I feel like that's not a thing that should go into official reviews. Cause like you said, it brings this like level of expectation for it.
Yes.
100%. But this is why I'm glad I didn't really look at any of that going into it. All I knew is you said there was a ton of hype behind it and that was it.
Well, okay, this is why I typed in Godzilla Minus One release date USA, and it says December 1st, 2023, which sounds...
Okay.
It says first announced in November 2022. It released in Japan November 3rd, 2023, and in theaters in the US December 1st, 2023. But that is why everybody was saying it was one of the best releases of 2023. I was trying to think, January just didn't sound right.
Can we pull up a list of the top movies of 2023? Can we do that real quick? Can you pull that up for me? And let's take a look.
Top? Do you mean box office?
Top box office movies of 2023. And let's take a look at those.
It's not going to be super surprising, I don't think. Number one is Barbie. Number two is Super Mario Brothers. Number three is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Number four is Guardians 3, which was really great, by the way.
It's better than all of the ones you've listed so far.
Number five is Oppenheimer.
Better than Oppenheimer.
I'm actually a little surprised that that's so far down the list. That's a little weird to me.
This is probably going by sales, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's domestic box office for 2023.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Most people are fucking stupid.
Number six, The Little Mermaid. Number seven, Avatar, which should be way lower. That movie's fucking terrible. Eight, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Number nine, John Wick. Number 10, Sound of Freedom.
This list is really depressing.
Number 11, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour.
Fuck off, dude. Can we finally admit that she's not... I don't care if this brings every Swiftie at us. That movie doesn't belong on any fucking list, and she's the most overrated musician of our time right now.
Well, the views expressed by Book of Bread are not necessarily the views expressed by Mike the Finder.
Come at me. I don't care. She's so fucking overrated. Doesn't matter.
Number 12 is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Number 13 is Mission Impossible. We're just going to go down to the top 20 here. Number 14, The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I heard that was trash. Didn't see it. Number 15 is Transformers, Rise of the Beasts. Number 16 is Creed 3. Number 17 is Elemental. I still have not seen that, but I have heard good things.
I've heard really good things about Elemental.
18 is Fast 10. 19 is Five Nights at Freddy's. I'm surprised that's so high on the list. And number 20 is Wonka, which I hated with a fucking passion.
I hated that movie. I thought it was
so much. Yeah. Did you see it?
I saw it.
What did you think? I don't think we've talked about that at all.
I liked it. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was great, but I also didn't see the need for it. But what I'm seeing here is remake, sequel, remake, sequel. And that's what I'm seeing on this list. I will say, of the movies you just listed other than Oppenheimer, yes, this is better than all of those. Well, in my opinion,
I liked Guardians 3. I thought Guardians 3 was a really good bow tie on what has been the only Marvel shit that I've been interested in at all. I also really liked the Super Mario Brothers movie. Did you see that?
I did. I own it on 4K.
It's great. It's a really fun movie. I didn't see Barbie. Yep. I didn't see Spider-Man.
I'm sick of Chris Pratt and everything, but
I was more than happy to hear that Garfield was flopping at the box office over the last week because it just felt...
I mean, dude, honestly, at this point, I'm happy to see any Marvel movie flop. I cannot wait for the day when we're finally in nursing homes and comic book movies aren't the thing anymore, because I really feel like it's going to take that fucking long for it to happen.
Well, all of this is to say that I think this is why people were so refreshed by Godzilla Minus One, because regardless of how I feel about it, and we'll get to that in a minute, this is a movie that I feel like is actual cinema and deserves to be in a theater and have people watch it. Where in the hell list is this? Now that I'm thinking about it,
it's a box office thing, man. Like if you look at the box office in Japan, it didn't do it did well, but it didn't touch what these movies did over here. It didn't.
It's number 51 on the box office list from last year.
And therein lies the problem.
And
with theater
movies. This is why I know this is bullshit, because Killers of the Flower Moon is number 36. Under Haunted Mansion and Blue Beetle.
Oh my God.
Did you see Killers of the Flower Moon?
No, not yet. It's just so long.
Yeah, but it's really, really fucking good.
Here's the thing.
So
I'm
good.
I'm really well, as somebody who's a huge history nerd, I'm really well acquainted with the story behind it.
Right.
And I know how heavy that story is.
It's really heavy, but
it's so well done.
It's so fucking well done.
But I mean, it's a Scorsese movie. Of course it's well done. He's one of the few directors where I'm like, if he did it, it's going to be good.
All right. Well, let's get into the Godzilla Minus One review. Do you want to go ahead and give us a synopsis of Godzilla Minus One?
Yes. It is the story of a radioactive lizard that goes and attacks Japan.
It's not wrong.
It's not. It sure isn't. You've got nothing. You can't do anything about what I just...
obscenely simple.
No. I did just boil it down to its like basis elements.
Exactly.
Godzilla Minus One is a near origin story of Godzilla during and post-World War II in Japan. And it is, from what I can tell, a throwback to classic Godzilla movies. And I feel like if I can tell that from someone who's not a huge Godzilla, like a major Godzilla fanatic, I feel like that's probably what they were going for, because it's definitely, definitely a throwback.
Have you seen the original from 1954? I think.
No, I have. I've seen the original Godzilla, and that's why I'm really glad I had, because I've watched the original Godzilla sheerly for the sake of, I feel like it's something I had to watch because it's Godzilla. Like you should. I mean, other than Godzilla, King Kong was the first like kaiju, as far as I can tell. I don't know if King Kong's a kaiju though. Is it? Because King Kong was American, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if...
Was it Godzilla or King Kong that came out in 1937?
That was Godzilla, or I'm sorry, King Kong. That was King Kong.
Okay.
So this is what the dictionary says of kaiju: a giant monster of a type featured in Japanese fantasy and science fiction movies and television programs. Okay. So yeah, I don't think King Kong is kaiju.
Doesn't apply then.
No.
So like I said, Godzilla is one of the original Godzilla is one of those movies I watched because I felt I should, because of the impact that it's had. There's a lot of movies that I've watched for that specific purpose. Gone with the Wind is the one that comes to mind the most. I've seen Gone with the Wind. I watched Casablanca, and they were purely for the sake of going, okay, these are staples of cinema. And then of course I watched those movies and I fell in love with them. But I also have Titanic at the top of my favorites list, or not the top, but on my favorites list. So
yeah, I mean,
that says about me.
I love the original Godzilla. Anything past that, I am not overly familiar with. And kaiju in general is something I enjoy, generally speaking, but it's not something I'm overly familiar with. So, I've seen like... What was the 99 remake or whatever it was with Matthew Broderick? I've seen the one with the girl from Stranger Things. Like, I've seen a lot of them, but to be fucking perfectly honest, I don't remember any of them really. Other than the original.
You and I recently watched King Kong versus Godzilla. And did we watch that, or did I just
watch that? I haven't seen that yet.
Brittany's motioning. Apparently it was me and my wife, which, the fact that I just threw you into that just says a lot about me. But we're going to skip over that and talk about the fact that I did watch King Kong versus Godzilla recently.
Uh-huh.
And, I loved it. I loved it.
I mean, you're a big fan of just like big popcorn,
easy,
over the top action movies, right? So
I am, but that's the thing is like the we've talked about this before. I am a fan of those movies, but even those movies, I usually find something meaningful to enjoy in them. And like King Kong versus Godzilla, the reason I loved that so much is because for the first time, it really, really portrayed this like good versus evil aspect of King Kong and Godzilla.
Right.
And it put so much emotion into King Kong that's why I liked it. And that's also why I don't find myself getting into things like Fast and the Furious, because they're these big popcorn blockbuster films. But to me, there's little to no substance in them whatsoever. And maybe that's just because I can't, appreciate the emotion behind a fucking Dodge Charger. But the fact of the matter is I liked King Kong and Godzilla so much because there was emotion, because there was this almost like anthropomorphization.
Oh my God. It's like trying to watch a puppy speak.
It's like watching
a corgi. And I don't mean bark, I mean speak English.
It's like watching a corgi swim through an ice lake. No, but like that, but so that's why I get into those movies. Like, it's like Die Hard. We've talked about Die Hard before. The reason I love Die Hard so much is not just because it's a fun action movie, but it's because of the realism and at least like the grounded aspect of John McClane in an era of action, 80s action heroes, where everything was over the top. So, like I said, that's why I went into Godzilla Minus One with a bit more of an open mind and a bit more anticipation. And I'm really, really glad I did, because the things I loved about Godzilla Minus One are the emotional aspects of the film.
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing is everything I disliked about it. I had a much different experience watching this, I think, than you did. This is...
Yeah, you did.
I read your Letterboxd review before we started this, and it is much different than my Letterboxd review. Would you like to read your Letterboxd review real quick? This is going to slightly spoil how we feel about this movie.
Brettmas, if you would like to follow me, my name is Brettmas. Because
you're the worst.
Am
the worst. Yeah.
The best.
Are you ready over there, Grandpa? Jesus Christ.
Shut up. It's a little bit more complicated.
Why?
Okay. Let me just.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Do I watch a lot of kaiju films? No. Have I seen a ton of Godzilla films? Also, no. But of the Godzilla films I've seen, I have to say that this one may top them all. I'm not sure if I would put it on the pedestal. I've seen so many place it, but I can definitely see where the hype for it is coming from. Yes, it's a Godzilla movie with a slew of action sequences and effects that are truly amazing, especially given its budget of a relatively meager $15 million. But it's also a film that drips with emotion and personalization from beginning to end. Not only is there a story in here about raw emotion, human struggle, and human suffering, but I feel like it excels at showing the attitude of the Japanese both during and after the war towards their own citizens, as well as the sheer devastation that was caused so thoroughly from the dropping of the atomic bombs. All in all, though I may not feel like it completely lives up to the best film of 2023 hype I keep seeing, I can definitely say that it far exceeded my expectations and hits far deeper than I ever expected a Godzilla movie to strike. And I wrote this yesterday or last night while I was watching it, and I gotta say, I still feel this way about it. I did not expect there to be this much emotion coming out of it. Now, to be fair, as like we said, I'm a huge history nerd, but more than that, I'm a big World War II nerd. And I have really, really strong opinions about a lot of different facets of World War II. And seeing them make a Godzilla movie that touches on so much of the, not just the Japanese culture, but the impact that the Japanese had from us, you know, bombing the ever-loving fuck out of them, to really see them put that into a movie like this, which is essentially a sci-fi movie, regardless of how you feel about it, it's pretty fucking impressive what they were able to fit into this kind of a movie, in that regard. And to me, it hit a lot harder because I, in my head, I'm watching them write this. I'm watching them storyboard this. I'm watching them come up with a shot list for it from the perspective of Japanese people who have probably been handed down horror stories through the generations of the shit that people went through. And so to me, that's why there was so much emotion in this, at least from my perspective.
So all of that is completely true. I totally understand where you're coming from with that. So with that in mind, let me read you my Letterboxd review. Too many people, not enough Godzilla destroying shit. Absolute bore fest. Does it not bother you that a movie called...
Is that the whole review?
Yes. Does it not bother you? Does it not bother you that a fucking movie called Godzilla Minus One, the only thing you just spoke about is the fucking people? Does that not bother you? Because it bothers me when I watch a movie called Godzilla Anything, .. What I want is fucking Godzilla destroying shit. That's what I want out of a Godzilla movie. I'm gonna get so much hate for this.
I think. Oh yeah, you are. And for once, I might not get all the hate for a change. The reason I think this is, again, I think the whole 2020 best movie 2023 thing is bullshit. However, I think this is the best Godzilla movie of recent years. And I think that
the best turd in a fucking toilet bowl, bro. Like. It's, you know, the thing is like when you watch a Godzilla movie, or at least for me, when I watch a Godzilla movie, I want to see Godzilla destroying shit. It doesn't need to be much deeper than that. And this movie is so focused on everything but fucking Godzilla that I just got bored. I was so goddamn bored throughout the entire fucking movie that I just lost all interest. Like, I was so excited to watch this, but it's just so fucking dull. And it's not even that I don't give a shit about the characters. It's that in the context of a Godzilla movie, I don't give a shit about the characters. In any other movie, the story that they're telling about this main protagonist, I would absolutely love, and I would see the depth of it, blah, 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 blah. But this is a fucking Godzilla movie, and it's all focused on the wrong fucking thing. But... I will also recognize the fact that the reason people love this movie is because of everything that you're talking about. This is the reason that this had huge mainstream success is because of the shit that you are talking about. And I mean, for sure in the minority of why isn't Godzilla destroying more shit?
Well, you're in the minority, but you're not alone. And there's a difference there because I saw a lot of this online from a lot of people talking about, I don't understand the hype behind it. From my understanding, Godzilla has always been almost like a cinematic coping mechanism for the Japanese for what happened in World War II. And this to me personifies that to a T.
And yeah, but
so impressive to me is that they took a kaiju movie and made people who have I have no way of empathizing. I have a way. I sympathize greatly with what happened during World War II to the Japanese people, also because I have a lot of very liberal leaning viewpoints, but so I can sympathize with that a lot, but I can't empathize with it. But this movie, almost as much as someone in my situation can, almost made me empathize with that whole situation. And dude, that says a fucking lot in my opinion.
Yeah, but you could have done that without it being a Godzilla movie. You could have very easily done that and set it in the real world. And it would be the exact same fucking movie about the bomb instead of Godzilla.
But they did it with a Godzilla movie.
I know. And that's why everybody is all up their own ass and like, oh, it's so impressive and smart and blah, blah, blah. No, make Godzilla destroy shit. That's all I want to see. Make him fight shit, destroy buildings. There's one fucking scene of him destroying buildings. Like, I you know what?
Well, he's just resolving ships and shit.
But I totally understand where you're coming from, and I agree with what you're saying. I just don't agree that it belongs in a fucking Godzilla movie. That's my big thing. And what you're saying about all the Godzilla movies being about them dealing with the atomic bomb and all that stuff is true.
Not all of them.
But that's where the core idea came from. And I agree with all of that, but it's just not what I wanted out of this movie. And this is why, when I said earlier, that the hype kind of destroyed this movie, it destroyed it for me because I didn't hear anybody talk about the personalization of the protagonist in this situation. I heard no one say anything about any of that because I didn't watch any reviews. I didn't read any reviews.
The protagonist in this is a bitch.
He's such a bitch. But my point is, I didn't hear anybody talking about that stuff whenever this was like the hype was at its peak, and maybe it's back there now, I'm not sure, but I didn't hear anybody saying any of this stuff about it because I didn't go into any reviews because I wanted to be fresh when I saw this movie. Well, I was fresh when I saw this movie, and it just didn't deliver what I wanted out of it. Now, with that being said, that does not make this a bad movie. I think that this is a pretty good movie. I think some of the technical aspects are pretty shitty, but I also think that it's incredible that they were able to accomplish what they did with the fucking budget they had, especially the CGI. Some of the CGI is really bad, but most of it, generally speaking, is pretty fucking good.
Here's what I really liked in regards to the CGI. What I really liked about it is that this is the first modern Godzilla movie I've seen where Godzilla moves and looks like a miniature, like in the originals.
Yeah.
But as a CGI, like when he's walking around with his strong hands and he's he's got those like tiny little, like, I will say I did laugh when he's moving around like this.
Well, yeah, because they really tried to make it look like the original Godzilla. Yeah. I did like that a lot. Other than the face is a little too expressive, but
It's a little too expressive. Especially at a certain point. I'm pretty sure they gave him poppy eyes at one point. I'm not sure how I feel about that first scene
when you like one of the first within the first 5 minutes, you see a close up of his face, and it was like, I don't know how I feel about that because it's a little too cartoony. His expressions are a little too over the top, all that kind of shit. But other than that, I think that the overall design was actually really decent, and I love the fucking heat vision that he has. All of it. All of it is super fucking cool. It's just, I just wanted something else out of it, but it's hard for me to hold that against it because this is a really well fucking made movie.
It is. I will say we did mention on the protagonist. It's not often I get to watch a movie and think, kill yourself. And it be part of who that character is supposed to be.
Yeah, because he did killing himself in the first.
He's a kamikaze pilot. Yeah. And like, you know, there were several times in this movie where I'm like, you should kill yourself. And he's a kamikaze pilot. So had he done that, then, you know, it would have been okay. Normally it's a terrible, terrible, terrible thought. But it's like, dude, you're supposed to do that. Like. Months ago,
I think it was years, because the Kaiku, or what's her name?
Kaiju.
No, her name is not Kaiju. You think his daughter's name is Kaiju?
Oh, Akiko.
Akiko. Akiko goes
Akiko.
From being
Sorry,
a straight
Akiko.
Up Akiko. She goes from being a straight baby to like, I don't know, like four. Okay, well, why don't you give me your broad stroke thoughts on this movie and whether you think it's worth watching. It's one of the biggest movies on Netflix. It's been trending number one for at least a week. And then once I give you my broad strokes, we will go into spoilers and details about a bunch of shit that we want to actually talk about. So this is going to be a spoiler-free, like, broad strokes review. We'll go into details, and then we'll give you our final thoughts and ratings on this movie.
Now, overall, I think Godzilla Minus One, though not completely up to the hype, I will say it's pretty damn close, in my opinion. I think it's phenomenal storytelling. For what they had to work with as far as the graphics go, I think it was amazing. There's a lot more here than I was expecting there to be. Like, a lot more here than I was expecting. I was expecting some, like, you know, run-of-the-mill, Godzilla comes in, destroys the town, basically a movie version of the video game Rampage. That's pretty much what I was expecting. And what I got was a lot more personalization, a lot more emotion, a lot more storytelling, and something that made me, again, not, I can't inherently empathize with what the Japanese went through during World War II, but like this, like there are scenes in here that made me feel levels of desperation, of complete helplessness that I don't think you really, that really register when you think of stuff about World War II. And the fact that it's set post-World War II, and I mean post, like right afterwards, like this movie just made me feel things that I did not think I was going to feel going into it. And overall, I think it's worth watching, and I think it's worth watching again. I'm buying this. I'm buying this on 4K. I loved Godzilla Minus One.
So my only question would be, does the fact that they make you feel something in a Godzilla movie make it good? Because when I walked into this movie, what I wanted out of it is not what I got out of it. And that is not the fault of the movie. That is 100% my expectations being shattered by the reality of what this movie is. So I think that me going into this movie wanting a actual Godzilla movie is probably my own fault. But it's also the fault of the fucking people that made it. Because when you take something that is... that has such a really, this has a really long history, this movie or this franchise, and forever it has done one thing. And I get the fact that everybody is loving this movie because this doesn't do that one thing. It takes it and it flips it on its head. But for me, it just didn't fucking work because of that very reason. It's not what I wanted. I didn't feel like I needed that out of a Godzilla movie. I didn't really care about the main character all that much. I thought he was shallow. I thought he was kind of a bitch. I didn't like him as a person. I think the fact that he let this random fucking woman walk into his life and bring a child was fucking ridiculous. I thought the setting right after the war, I think is a great idea, but I think the execution of them, the execution is just poor. I didn't feel like I was in the 40s. I constantly felt like they were doing the best they could with what they had, which is probably what they were doing. But I thought that the costumes were shitty. I thought the color grading was fucking annoying as fuck, which is why I wanted to see this in black and white. It looked like a bad Peter McKinnon LUT slapped on top of raw footage is what it looked like to me. I thought that the sound design was pretty fucking bad, if I'm being really fucking honest. I thought the music was only good because it was the original fucking music. I thought that the acting was not great, but to be fair, I think that that is in part because of the fact that we watched this dubbed and not subtitled. The American, you told me you were gonna, we had three conversations about it. What do you mean you didn't?
I watched half of it.
Fucking asshole. We did that on purpose so that we could have the exact same experience. Otherwise, I would have watched the fucking subtitles. What do you mean you didn't?
I'm sorry. I watched half of it in
the fire. Just die in a fire. Just, I want you to just fire to engulf your body and just melt your body down to nothing but ash. Just fucking.
I watched half of it dubbed, and then I was like, maybe it'll give us two different perspectives.
God damn it, I hate you so much.
To be fair, To be fair,
we had a whole conversation about this. What do you want to do? Do you want to watch it subtitled? And you were like, I don't want to read the whole movie. That's not something I want to do. It takes away from the experience of looking at it.
But
the only reason I watched this dubbed is because of you. That's the whole reason. God, fuck you. I don't like you.
To be fair, the reason I switched over to the subbed version.
Because you're a bastard? Is that why?
Okay. One of the reasons I watched it subbed is because apparently I'm a bastard. And also because, yes, you're right, the voice acting for the dubbed version is pretty fucking bad.
Before we watch this movie, everyone says to watch this subtitled because the acting is better subtitled. And the fucking American voice actor.
But now we've got two perspectives. Now we can look at it both ways.
God damn it, I hate you so much.
But no, I'm agreeing with you. It's bad.
So anyway, my thoughts on this are I did not care for this, but that doesn't make it a bad movie. I think that this is a pretty well-made movie, all things considered, especially when you can take into consideration the budget and the CGI. While not great, I think that it's going to age poorly. I just do. I think this we're going to look back at this the same way we look at the Matthew Broderick Godzilla and go, wow, that CGI sucks. And there's nothing that we can do about that because they're fucking... Their budget was so damn low. And that's not their fault. But at the same time, they had no idea that this was going to be such an international smash hit. So I think that what they made the right call, but also this is going to age really poorly. But if you're into character stories, if you're into character development and heavy plot all the time, plot, and no, like 4% action, you're going to really, really, really like this movie.
So you're telling me the reason you don't like most big budget or big box office budget or action movies is because it's nothing but a lack of substance. But when we get one with substance, you don't like it?
I'm saying that this is a franchise that has a history of not having a ton of substance in it. And then you flip it on its head and me going into it, expecting one thing and getting another, and it being over two goddamn hours of people talking about Godzilla instead of
me
seeing Godzilla. Yes, it's fucking bad. And everyone who's licking its butthole is so up its own ass about it having substance, like no movie has ever had fucking substance ever before, ever. I just I just don't agree. I think that it's...
But you have to look at the substance and the context of the movie we're watching, though, man.
That's actually exactly what I'm doing.
It's not a movie you would normally expect that from.
Exactly, which is why everybody's going, oh, it's so smart and fun.
Nobody said it was smart. Well, I wouldn't say it's smart, but I again, for me, it's the human element. That's what I love so much about it is the human element. And to be fair, I knew going into this that you and I were going to be on polar opposite.
Yeah, but I did not expect it to be this. Me be on this side and you be on that side.
I knew going into this. I didn't go into this with like reluctance, like I don't want to do this, but I went into this knowing you were going to be representing one side and I was going to be representing the other because you called me and told me you were bored.
25 minutes in.
15 minutes in, I was on board and I went, oh, tomorrow's going to be a rough one.
Let me throw you a hypothetical here, Brett.
Okay.
I am going to make a new Friday the 13th movie.
Okay.
In this movie, I am going to make the movie 4% Jason, and the rest of it, right, is going to be about the people that Jason is chasing. But instead of Jason chasing them, they're going to be talking about Jason and what they're going to do with him for over 2 hours. Does that sound interesting to you? And then the whole world is going to go, oh my God, this is such a fresh take on Friday the 13th. Oh my God, why has nobody ever put plot in a Friday the 13th? Because it's not why you're there. That's not what you were there for.
Can I give a rebuttal?
Sure. I would love to hear one.
Godzilla has always personified.
Yes. We've already been over this.
And that's what I'm saying.
We know this.
Jason doesn't personify anything but murder.
That's not entirely true.
And chaos.
But my point is there's a huge difference between Godzilla representing something and then making an entire movie about that something and throwing Godzilla in it.
Okay, let me flip it a little bit and give one of the biggest problems I've got with this movie. I was always under the impression that Godzilla was a direct result of the atomic bombs.
Hang on.
Yes or no? Was Godzilla?
I don't think so.
Originally a result of the atomic bombs dropping.
I don't think so.
Or at least. The radiation from the atomic bombs having some impact on Godzilla coming
to light. I'm seeing on Google is that he's a prehistoric reptilian monster, so he was around before, but he was awakened and empowered after many years of nuclear radiation.
Okay. He comes
with the nuclear bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, still fresh in the Japanese consciousness. Godzilla was conceived as a metaphor for nuclear weapons, like we were saying.
So in this, Godzilla comes about on Odo Island before the bombs were dropped.
Well, that's what I just said. If he's prehistoric, that's literally what that means.
Oh, all right. Well, then my biggest issue with this movie is null and void, and I loved it.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what. I was always under the impression that he was dormant and had always been there and the bombs woke him up versus him being created from the bombs.
Well, the reason I love this movie is because of the human element, like what it made me feel for the people involved. Now I will say
last 20 minutes is real powerful. Last 20 minutes is real powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
dude, I, right before, can we do spoilers yet?
I think we've talked about, we're going to go into spoilers, details, all that kind of shit from here on out. Brett highly suggests that you watch this movie. Me, if you like boring plot, go ahead and watch it, and you'll really enjoy it if you like 4% of Godzilla in a Godzilla movie.
Right.
Okay.
If you're heartless.
Yeah.
Heartless bastard.
Yeah, or a horror movie fan. Yeah. Okay, right. Go ahead.
Let me remind everybody he loved Night Swim. Anyway, right before he pulls...
You know
pulls
what? God damn it. That's a good point. I lose all credibility for enjoying Night Swim. You're right. You're not wrong on that point. Yes. God damn it.
Oh, fuck.
No, you're right. You're right.
Sorry.
Everyone in
the entire
world hates that movie. And I'm sitting over here yelling, if this was made in 1986, you'd all be kissing its butthole. But sure, it's a bad movie. Sure.
Mr. Rotten Tomatoes over here.
Fucking hey, dude.
Fuck Killer Tomatoes. Damn it, I killed it. Anyway, right before he pulled the ejection lever, I'm not gonna lie, it broke a little bit. I started getting goosebumps.
I literally laughed for like 2 minutes when that plane
You're such
flew.
A bad
No, no, listen. I laughed for like 2 minutes straight when that plane flew into Godzilla's mouth because the animation was so bad on it that it just made me laugh. It ruined any emotional punch that scene had when it just went, yeah. And just stopped in his fucking mouth. I fucking lost it when that happened.
It's the Godzilla equivalent of Voldemort.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I felt. Yes. So I don't know.
No, but like, but again, though, man, like the reason that had an impact is because of all the human emotional elements leading up to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the thought of him leaving Akiko. I think that's how you pronounce it. I think that's the proper pronunciation.
I'm pretty sure they say that multiple times. But I watched the dubbed version, so what do I know? You know?
Well, no. I told you I watched the first half of it
and thought, this dubbed. Is so bad, I'm going to watch the subtitled version.
It is part of it. So, to be fair, in my defense, me doing that and not telling you and you being very angry with me right now is actually underscoring the point you made. Mm-hmm.
You knew that I only watched half of it last night. You could have said
I
something.
Didn't.
You
I,
did.
I,
we
I,
had a whole
I,
conversation on the I, phone about
I,
it.
I,
you
I
called
forgot.
Me and said, have you watched it? And I said, I watched an hour of it. I'm going to sit down and watch the other hour later.
I forgot. Okay. I forgot.
Son of a
and
bitch.
I'm sorry.
That
I'm
more than
sorry,
anything,
I forgot.
I feel like it was a bunch of guys named Doug having a conversation with themselves.
Yes.
Because they all
yes,
sound fucking
you are
exactly
correct.
The same.
You are correct. Now, with that said, doing it with the subtitles was a bit of a chore.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's like how it's supposed to be watched.
I know. It does. It does affect it quite a bit. But we're going to move past that.
You're going to move
because
past
I genuinely feel bad about I'm not going to lie. At a certain point, I just like naturally went, I don't want to do this.
Yes, fuck and it. I felt
even,
like I was watching a live action anime.
I genuinely completely forgot that we, I remember us talking about it, but like, I genuinely forgot that that's how we were watching it going into this. And I'm sorry.
Well, what details do you want to go into here? Cause I feel like, I don't have a ton to say other than what I've said, so I'll just play off whatever you have to bring up with your details here.
I do have two things I want to bring up. One of them's a fun fact. I want to bring up a fun fact, and this is something I might start doing for the majority of the episodes. Fun fact of the episode, the Yukikaze, the ship that the scientist is on, was an actual Japanese destroyer ship from World War II, and it's the only one in its class to have survived the war, and they used it to fight Godzilla. I thought that was just a fun little fact.
That is a fun little fact.
I'm a big little history nerd, and your condescending-ass tone is going to make me move on to the
next. No, that was a fun little fact. I enjoyed learning that fun little fact.
Sorry, I've just known you for so long, I can't distinguish between honesty and sarcasm anymore.
I live in here. I can't either.
I know. I can't imagine doing that. I had two big problems. First of all, the scene that hits the heart. One of the scenes that hits the hardest is the scene where Godzilla, they're in Gizma or whatever the town is, and he shoots the heat ray and the thing goes off like a hydrogen bomb, not an atomic. It looks like it genuinely, and again, this being a history nerd, it looks like a hydrogen bomb explosion, not an atomic bomb explosion. When that goes off, that was a big, big emotional moment for me because like the look on his face, they've just gone through two of the atomic bombings. Huge emotional moment ruined completely by instead of her jumping into the alley with him, she just pushes him into the alley when she was completely capable of just jumping into the alley with him and negating that part of the story completely.
What pisses me off even further about that is that it takes them so long for her to get a message to him that she's still alive.
Which brings me to point number two. She's been in the hospital for what? 2 weeks? I understand this is the late 40s, but radio's been invented. We're not running the fucking Pony Express anymore. And you're going to tell me it took her this long to get a message to an address she knows very, very well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. The other part of it is
it's like the biggest fucking plot hole in this whole goddamn movie to me.
They don't have a romantic scene in this movie at all. And we're supposed to just accept the fact that they're fucking in a relationship.
The whole movie is him cuckolding himself.
Yes. And it annoyed the ever-loving fuck out of me that the entire movie, he's just okay with this random woman he doesn't even really know living with him, bringing this child that he doesn't, has never met, into his home. He goes and gets jobs to help support both of them. Not a kiss on screen, not a hug, fucking nothing.
No. I love that scene where he says, "I'm not your dad," and everybody's like, "How can you say that?" Because he's not her fucking dad. Yeah. And honestly, dude, with as big of a bitch as he is in this movie, I'm really, really surprised there isn't this a scene of him just in the corner, just like. Just crying and masturbating while looking over his shoulder longingly at her in the corner.
All it would have taken is one fucking kiss 38 minutes into this movie. And it would have completely erased any problem I have with that relationship. Yeah. Yep. If she showed even the slightest bit of interest, she even says to him at one point, "If you're ever going to get a girlfriend, I can't be around all the time." Like, what? The fuck are you talking about?
It's real. I gotta say, his fortitude as a character in this movie is my biggest problem with the whole movie.
Well, and I also, this is a cultural thing, I think. The fact that I'm supposed to dislike him because he didn't kamikaze himself fucking annoyed the shit out of me, too. Everybody in this movie, when they find out that he didn't kill himself, kind of looks down on him. And again, that's probably a cultural thing because it has to do with honor and all this stuff that we as Americans have none of. You know, that I could not empathize or sympathize with it at all. So this whole thing of him, it all comes to tie together again at the end when he goes to, you know, when he has to sacrifice himself in order to kill Godzilla. What?
Hang on. No, I need some clarification on this. Are you saying your issue is that he didn't kamikaze himself, is the way he's treated for not kamikazing himself?
My issue is that me as a viewer is supposed to have sympathy for him because the entire world around him is treating him poorly because he didn't kamikaze himself. The entire movie, everyone is fucking looking down their noses at him because when they find out that he was a kamikaze pilot that didn't kamikaze himself. You get what I'm saying? So
kamikaze,
it was really difficult for me to like feel bad for him because I didn't think he did anything wrong and the entire rest of the world is looking down their nose at him. And so it just,
that's what you're supposed to feel bad for.
That's my point. That's exactly my point. Because it's so fucking ridiculous.
Dear viewer, do you know how hard it's been to maintain a connection with Mike for 27 years? The fact that I even ever get an odd dude that sucks out of you is
true. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm just kidding.
His entire character arc is based on I didn't kill myself, so to redeem myself, I must kill myself at the end, regardless of what happens at the end, regardless of all that. We're meant to believe that his character arc is I didn't do good by not killing myself, therefore must do good by killing myself later in this movie is fucking stupid. It's fucking dumb.
Well, I think you can boil it down to what I have a problem with in a lot of movies that touch on this. It's a big problem of have you watched the Fallout series yet?
I am two episodes in.
So this that happens in Godzilla Minus One is another problem that I have in Fallout, which is people always do things antithetically for the greater good. In Fallout, you have it happen where he saves his daughter over attempting to save the vault. And here you have the same thing where he's willing to do it to save the people that are immediately close to him, but not for the greater good as a whole.
Right.
I don't have an issue with him not wanting to.
It's even worse than Fallout, by the way, because he actively decides to kill, what is that, like five or six people right there by deciding his daughter is more important than all of them. Yeah.
And then magically there's 40 people in the vault. We're not going to get into that. My problem here is not that he wouldn't kamikaze himself. Because I can relate, or that's something I can empathize with. Not being able to bring yourself to do something like that. Because again, a lot of this goes into having read a lot of history with World War II, the pressure that a lot of these pilots were under, and just being able to implement the human element of self-preservation.
Yes.
I can understand not being able to do that.
But the line that he says, it's funny. A part of me still wants to live. Like, fucking of course it does. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, your honor is that much more important. You think it's going to override your natural inclination to want to live? That's ridiculous.
Right. No, like I said, my biggest problem with this movie is the fortitude of his character. That's my biggest problem. The fortitude and the priorities that his character sets. Other than that, though, like, it was, you know, a lot of it was, again, me looking at it as, okay, what would I do in that situation? Could I have done something differently? I have no fucking clue. I have no base of reference for that.
Well, and again, yeah, this is a cultural thing between the people that made it and us. And we can't, it's very difficult, like you were saying at the beginning of the show, for us to empathize with the situation. We can sympathize all day long, but that doesn't mean that we actually understand what that's like. So all of that I get. It's just, dude, I gotta tell you, man, it's this movie, generally speaking, I'm heightening my reaction to this a little bit for the podcast, to be real fucking honest, because this is not that bad of a movie. Even as a Godzilla movie, it's not that bad, but I did want more Godzilla destroying shit and less people talking about Godzilla destroying shit. But I also understand this is why it had mainstream appeal. This is why everybody loved it so much, because they turned it into a fucking soap opera with the backdrop being a giant lizard instead of the foreground being a giant lizard and the backdrop being the people dealing with it.
Let's be honest. You're mad that Matthew Broderick wasn't in this one.
Well, I mean, he makes everything better.
He does make everything better.
Like 30 Rock, for instance. He's amazing in 30 Rock.
This is going to be a reference in his Me Too case. Something terrible is going to happen about Matthew Broderick, and we're going to have to recant all of this.
I just can't imagine that man not being a decent, awesome person to be around. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's what makes him such a monster.
So it's like Tom Hanks. Wow, that's crazy.
It's like Tom Hanks, yes.
All right.
It's just like Tom Hanks.
Well, let's go ahead and give our final thoughts on Godzilla Minus One and our ratings. You can go first, and then I will go right after. I think we've made it very clear how we feel about this, generally speaking, but I'm interested to hear your actual rating on this.
My rating stands for Letterboxd, 8 out of 10. I think it's an amazing movie, like, for not as a Godzilla movie, but I think it's an incredible film. I really do. I think there's a lot of I think this has what you look for in a film, and they were able to cram it into something like a monster movie. And I think that's incredible. I think the acting was good. Even if you watch it dubbed, the emoting of the characters is still there.
Everyone around the protagonist is amazing. I just thought the protagonist was a little
I think the cheesy. Story is amazing. I think they did a good job of maintaining the element of a Godzilla movie. Maintaining the elements of it. Now, it's not, if you're going into it at, you know, the way you were hoping to go into it, I can totally and 100% see where the disappointment would come in. But I think overall, this is a phenomenal film that is not as good as everybody's making it out to be. I think everybody's making this out to be, you know, the greatest movie of 2023. I don't know how you can do that given just the nature of the movie. It's a monster movie. And if you want to look at movies in the sense of, you know, telling an amazing story about the human element, and you're going to put it in the same year as Killers of the Flower Moon, I think you're out of your fucking mind.
Oppenheimer.
and Oppenheimer. I think you're out of your fucking mind if you're going to call this the best movie of 2023. But is it one of the best movies of 2023? Absolutely. Is it the best? Hell fucking no. But 8 out of 10, definitely.
All right. I mean, for me, I've been mostly like, you know, kind of playing up how I feel about this movie. It's not nearly as bad as I've been shouting about. I think that it's really pretty good. I don't like the color grade. The sound design is okay. They didn't even really do that great on the music because the music is just the original fucking score, which is a banger, by the way. But how hard is it to take a fucking already certified banger and shove it into a new movie? And use Taylor that Swift as the score for your new movie, like, you know, but they do it in Friday the 13th and all the other horror movies that I love that are remade, and I hate those too, so what do I know? You know, I just think that this is not at all what I wanted it to be, and again, that is not the fault of the movie. That is my fault for having expectations going into it. We've talked over and over and over about trying to go into movies with no expectations versus going in with them. You were almost always disappointed. And I think it was impossible for me to go in to a movie like this with no expectations because of everything that I've heard. This is one of those movies that I just think that it's been way overhyped. Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah, but it is not the best movie of 2023. You're out of your fucking mind, especially if you've never seen Killers of the Flower Moon or Oppenheimer. Those movies are literal fucking masterpieces. Those are masterpieces. Yeah. This yes, is they are. Decent.
Yes, they are.
This especially, I feel like we need to shout this from the mountain. This is good, .. for a Godzilla movie. Like, The reason that everybody's kissing the ass of this film is because it's not what they expected it to be. And it's the same for me, just on the opposite, in the opposite direction.
You're not wrong.
So this is good for a Godzilla movie. On Letterboxd, yeah, I rated this a 5 out of 10. I think I'm going to go ahead and raise it to a 6. I don't think it's a 5. I think I was a little upset about how, you know, I was a little in my feels when I rated it. But
you're gonna give this a D.
But I'm gonna give this a 6 out of 10. Yeah, I don't think this is as good as everybody says. I really didn't like it that much, and I thought it was too plot heavy. It was just talk, fucking constantly. And I want more Godzilla destroying shit and less people talking about Godzilla destroying shit. I want to see this stuff. A lot of the problems that I have could probably be fixed by a bigger budget. A lot of the CGI, not good. Some of the CGI is great, especially for the budget. But a lot of the CGI, really, really bad. It's going to age poorly. We're going to look back at this as like, This was great at one point. And plot wise, it'll still be looked at as a good movie. But technically, I don't think this is very good. I just don't think it's nearly as good as everybody's giving it props for being. And I think that watching this in black and white and subtitled would do this a world of good for me. Like, just straight up, I think giving it black and white and subtitles would make this a much better experience. But that's just, I'm self-aware enough to realize that's a me thing and not necessarily a movie problem. That's a problem with my brain and liking old shit. So, yeah, this is not as bad as I've been complaining about the entire podcast. I think it's decent. It's just above decent. How about that?
Do you think maybe you went into this based off the emotions you had while watching it and while discussing it? It's helped you kind of analyze parts of it you had not looked at objectively?
Yes, but that does not. Doesn't excuse the fact that I was bored the whole fucking movie, Brett. I was just bored because it's just constant exposition and plot and feelings, and it's just not what I want out of a Godzilla movie. There's a time and a place for that, and again I can recognize the fact that that is why everyone fucking loves this movie, because it's different than all the other Godzillas and it's what people want out of cinema today. But it's not what I wanted out of a Godzilla movie, and that's the biggest issue that I cannot get around. So there you go. That's how I feel about it. And I'm going to get so much hate when we actually upload this video.
The worst part is I'm the one that gets stuck responding to the hate online most of the time.
Yeah, because I don't read comments or any of that shit.
But so everybody, please keep that in mind when you leave your posts.
And when somebody goes, you hated this, I'm going to timestamp the last 4 minutes of this video that I just ranted about just as a response.
You should, because too many of these dipshits leave fucking comments where they're like, you didn't like it. Yeah, because you watched the first 10 fucking minutes.
The Twister review is a great example of that. I don't know if you saw how many dislikes that has on it, but that it is a very clear indication that people did not watch that whole video. So, okay.
It's really cute that you guys voice, you know, form your opinions on headlines, but feel free to read the content of the article.
All right. Well, if you like this, make sure you hit the like button. If you really liked it, make sure you hit the subscribe button, because we got a lot more content like this on the channel. I know we've been away for about the last month. We've both been super fucking busy, and this is just something that has got to be put on the back burner when we both got other shit to do. So unfortunately, that's just what happens sometimes. We're back at it now. We have scheduled a time every single week for us to sit down and do this from now on. So
it's scheduled.
We should be back to a more regular schedule at this point. I don't know when and if we're going to get back to trailer reactions. That's a whole other thing that we'll deal with in the future. For now, though, we are back on a regular schedule.
You know how people help us fix that? They tell their friends, they subscribe, we get to monetize, and then we get to quit everything else we're doing and focus on this.
I mean, that's true.
But that would assume that you like what we're having, that you like what we have to say.
And look, I'm not stupid enough to think that everybody has to agree with my dumbass opinion. I am a fucking idiot. There's no reason that you need to agree with what I'm saying. This shit is just my fucking opinion.
It's true. He's a stupid, dumbass opinion. Moron. Yes,
exactly.
He's a moron. So, you should see the text messages I have to deal with.
That's true. For like a week straight, I sent you nothing but gabagool memes.
Oh, it's gabagool memes. It's dick pics every Friday.
No, it's not.
He gets drunk and it's just his scrotum. I don't understand what makes him think I want to see this, but it's just hairy nutsack and me going, please stop doing this.
So thanks for watching, everybody. And by the way, I feel like we didn't touch on this enough. This streaming thing, I think, is something we're going to do every week from now on. This is just going to be part of our fucking assembly line to get these episodes out. So,
well, this is like, dude, this is exactly what I want too. I mean, I've been looking at the stream. Like, we don't have any comments. That's fine. We didn't expect we were going to be streaming to nobody today,
and that's fine.
But that's fine because what this can build into is exactly what I want, which is interaction with people. Yeah. I am so lonely. I want this to turn into us interacting with people, and you see what happens in an hour and a half. I need other friends. My best friend is terrible. My wife's had her back to me this whole time. She's right here. She hasn't looked at me once. She's looking at her phone while I'm saying,
that's because I know how you speak to her off air.
Speak.
I'm sorry, shout loudly.
Listen, these knuckles aren't going to callous themselves,
Okay, all right. Thank you guys for watching. We're going to continue to stream for the next few minutes, but that's going to be the end of the episode. By the way, if you're only watching us on YouTube, make sure you go check out the audio version on Spotify or your favorite podcast app, and vice versa. If you're only listening to us, this gives you a much bigger reason to go check out the YouTube channel, because we're going to be streaming on YouTube every week when we record these episodes. So I feel like this is just a good assembly line to get these episodes out. So thank you guys for watching/listening. We really appreciate it, and we will see you guys next time from the deep. Bye bye.